come into this building this morning. We thank you for it. We thank you how warm it is in here compared to what it is outside. There's lots of people this morning that don't have this comfort. I pray, Father, that you would just guide and direct my words this morning, that the Spirit just fills this building and this room. I just pray for all the people that are sick that couldn't show up today. They're still battling the illnesses out there. I just pray for Matt and Hallie as they're out taking a break. I pray for them and they're traveling, getting back. Corrine, as she's battling illness. Pray for the kids downstairs. They're the future. They're the future of this church and this world. There's a lot of them down there, so I pray for those teachers too. We just love you, Father, and we just thank you for all your blessings you give us that we take for granted every day. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I don't know how I sent these three verses there. I don't know, Johnny. That's pretty loud. I don't know. I'm just going to share with you guys. I'm not a teacher, so I'm just going to share with you what's been on my heart for quite a while. And been through some things here this past, probably this month have been probably some of the worst stuff, but that's, all of us can say that. And through all that, I asked myself, well, I'll just be honest with you, when my father-in-law died a few weeks ago, and it was awesome to watch a family that had a lot of faith just sit in that room and be comforted. There was tears, but there was laughter, and there was things, and there was just kind of a piece in that room that you can't explain. And, well, you can explain it because it's Jesus Christ is what it was. But what hit me when it was all over with, Deanna and I stuck around waiting for the car to come pick his body up, and I'm just standing there and I'm just kind of looking at his body, you know, and I'm just like, This is real. You don't change anything. You can't change any. It doesn't matter how much you want it to change. It doesn't matter what you wish you would have done or said, or it's done deal. But what really got me is how I really wondered, hey, where is my faith in this? Because this is real. And you could tell how it all went down, that it was kind of cool in a way, how all of a sudden he's just not there anymore, and then his body just starts to change and just starts going back, just like the Bible says, back to the earth. And as you can see it changing real quick. And so I got thinking about, I heard a pastor on the radio not too long ago, I was listening to a podcast, and he was just talking about faith. And he asked, are you one of those people that just go to church because that's a social thing to do? Do you have a faith because you want to just fit in? Or he goes, I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about people that say they're Christians, but do they put it, what's their faith look like? Do they even know what they have their faith in? And I really started thinking about that. And so, you know, when they use the word faith and hope in the English language, faith and hope. I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. I hope it doesn't snow tomorrow. I hope my wife doesn't poison my supper tonight because she's mad at me or whatever. But faith and hope, when it comes to the Word of God, is solid. When He says, the hope set before you, that's the truth. I mean, we use faith every day. So what I'm going to just talk about really quick, I'm not going to keep you a long time, but it's faith, okay? We just use all these words through our Christian walk all these years, you know, and faith is one of them. You hear that and you kind of yawn a little bit or whatever. But you had faith driving down here this morning. You guys were driving on the road. How do you know Culvert wasn't washed out? You had faith that road was going to stay up. You had faith when you sat down in this pew that I was going to hold you. I thought about that would be a good analogy if I'd unscrewed a couple of them and let them fall when you sat in them, and then you would have said, wow, I guess I took that for granted. But that's not the kind of faith. That's like a worldly faith, right? We just have faith in everything all the time. We just have faith that my alarm clock's going to go off, my job's going to be there, but those things can change, right? That's not the kind of faith we're talking about. What we're talking about is that eternal faith, that faith in God, that faith that never changes. When it comes, it's a solid fact who God is. So I had three, I don't know how they're listed up there. I got to look. Are they all three up there at once, or are they all separate? Huh? Individual, okay. So if I say the wrong one, you just yell at me, because that'll break the tension that I have. Okay, so if you want to, or it's on the board or on the TV, but so in 1 Corinthians, because what I'm trying to show here is, I guess I want you to do a gut check today like I did. I want you to ask yourself today, like when you leave, or tonight when everything's quiet, what do you believe? Because it's going to make a difference. When the wheels fall off the wagon and you can't change it, like the other day when I was in that nursing home with him dying, I couldn't change that, but I started to figure out how deep my faith was. And the enemy does a good job for us. He just keeps us busy. We're like a hamster on his... There is nothing wrong with businesses. There is nothing wrong with wanting to make some money. There's nothing wrong with that as long as God's involved and interwoven in all of that. That's one thing that you can't compare yourself to other people. God's got you in your own 6 feet. God's got you where He's got you. He expects you, though, in that job, whether it's successful, that family, or whatever it is, He expects you to include Him in that. And that faith works in that. So I'm going to go to these three different passages, and then I'm just going to read them. And they're just kind of in the middle of a whole context deal, but it shows what I'm trying to get my point across with faith. So in 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says, "Be on the alert and stand firm in the faith. Act like men and be strong." So I ask myself, I go, okay, that all sounds really good and churchy and everything, but what's that mean to stand in your faith? How do I stand on something I don't know what it is? How do I stand with no fear? How do I stand, I'm looking death in the face. How do I do that? Well, it's who you have your faith in, what you have your faith in. Who is that? What is that? Is that your money you got? Nothing wrong with money. We can all use it, like see you live without it. But is that what you're putting your faith in, and God's just kind of second? Oh yeah, I believe all this stuff. I believe God's true. I believe it all. But do you, when it comes really down to it, to stand firm no matter what comes at you? Be that one that when people are wondering why you're doing what you're doing, can you just not lose it, like that poor little boy is right now? Yeah, that's actually a good, I've seen people melt down like that, and they're adults. So then you go to Colossians 2:5. "For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ." Do I have a stability in Christ? Do I show that? Do I start to lose it? Am I the one? Are you going to be sad when you lose a loved one? Absolutely. Is your life going to change? Absolutely. But we're on this earth for a very short time, and we're supposed to be, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, we're supposed to be an example, right? Does that mean we have to be a rock and we never shed a tear? Does that mean we don't show any emotion? No. But are you the calm one in the room? Do you have this unexplainable calm about you when things, you get bad news on the phone. I remember, you don't know her, so I'll tell you. I used to have a few convenience stores, and I went and checked on one. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I just went to check on it. And this woman about run me over coming out of the door. And she was screaming and yelling. I couldn't understand what she was saying. She got in her car, she peeled off and left. Well, then it dawned on me she was the only one in the store. She was actually the employee running the store at the time. And something bad had happened, and she just lost it. And out the door she went, and didn't care if it was unlocked, didn't care about the money in the register, didn't care about anything. I just watched her just completely lose it. So do we have that stability? And where does that stability come from? It comes from our faith in Christ, right? I mean, I kind of beat up myself the other day because I said, well, am I in the Word of God? Where do I get that stability in Christ? How do I find out who He is? The more I want to dig into His Word, the more He starts to reveal Himself to me, right? But can I turn to a passage in my Bible pretty quick? I see some people can really whip in there and just get right in there. Can I? That kind of tells you how much you're in your Bible. Well, I'm on my phone. I listen to it on the radio on the way to work. I work God into my schedule. Boom, right there. That's what I do wrong. I work Him into my schedule. My schedule should work into God. And my life was so stupid about it, my life would go so much better if I would do that. But instead I take it as a job to do, a check the box. Well, I got to read the Bible today. God says I should, so I better. Here He is, my Father, wanting the best for me, but yet I'm setting that like as a secondary thing. And then I wonder why I can't figure things out sometimes when they happen like they do. People should see when life panic hits you hard and fast, are they going to see that stability in you? And the only way you're going to get that stability is through Christ. And the only way you're going to get that through Christ is to know who He is. I was going to put a video up on the... I got to rephrase that because my wife's not here, but I was going to put a video on the television of the Cowardly Lion on Wizard of Oz, but then I got looking at it and it had flying monkeys on it and stuff, and I thought that probably wouldn't be the best place to have a church showing a bunch of the witch and all that good stuff. But sometimes we are like the Cowardly Lion when he's on the road and he says, I do believe, he's going like this, I do believe in spooks, I do believe, you know. He's trying to talk him into the self that he believes. And I was laughing about that because sometimes when I don't have much to do with God during the day, and all of a sudden I maybe come to church once in a while or whatever it is, and then things start to go wrong, I start to look for worldly answers. I start to look for things that are inside what the television's fed me or whatever. Not what God's fed me. And so the enemy will just do everything he can do to keep you from getting His Word in your soul so you can draw on that when things happen. Because I don't care if you're a Christian or you're a non-Christian, bad things are going to happen because that's the life of the fallen world we live in. Do we have to live in doom and gloom? Absolutely not. Actually, unbelievers should look at us and say, I want what you got. I watched your family go through that, and I'm just using this for an example. I've seen people handle stuff really good because of their faith. I saw one time, it was this big funeral home, and I saw this one group. They had a young girl in there because they both got killed in the same car. This has been years ago. One girl's family in here, one girl's family on the other end. Like two rooms down the hall, away from each other. The one room had no hope. These people had no hope, and you could tell it. The other room had hope. They had Jesus Christ, and it was totally different room. I went to both of them. Totally different. Were they sad? Yeah, they were sad. If you say you're not sad, there's something wrong with you. But the way they handled it, because they had that hope in Christ. People should look at us, really, if you stop and think about it, if you really believe everything that's in this word, in God's Word, we should be looking forward to a party. We should be looking forward to good things. We shouldn't be doom and gloom, Eeyore on, always down and complaining and not. God tells you what to do about this country that's in a mess. He says, pray for it. And don't be part of the problem. So the last verse I have is James 1:3. And that's to the back. Doing a good job up there, Johnny? You got them babies up there, do you? Okay, James 1:3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. How many guys like tests? If you're a nerd, you might like tests. I don't like tests. I don't like any kind of tests. I don't like a health test. I don't like a written test. I don't like any tests. But how do we get stronger through tests? How do you get better at running? You go out and you run till you hurt, right? And then you can run a little farther. One day it's maybe run a quarter mile, and then the next day it's a half mile. Maybe it's a mile, whatever it is. And that makes your endurance build up. You get to be stronger. But endurance in this case, what James is talking about is patience. Do you have patience with people? How am I supposed to draw patience off this guy? He drives me nuts at work every day. He won't do it. He's an employee. He won't do anything I ask him to do. He wants a hand. Whatever it is, my wife, my kids, my husband, whatever it is. Why do I want to have patience and an endurance? Well, that faith in Christ, that faith that, do you think you can get any pointers in the Gospels from the way Jesus handled people? Because it's full of it. He was around people all the time that would drive you and I nuts. And he just had patience. If you've ever watched Chosen, people they get all bent out of shape about, some people do, about it's not doctrinally correct. But it does do a pretty cool job sometimes of kind of showing a little glimpse of the personality of Jesus would have had when he's handling these people. That part's pretty cool. And that's what he expects out of us. He expects us to be able to endure through these trials and tests. And nobody wants to hear about him. And when you all say, geez, you're such a Debbie Downer all the time. Well, God's just trying to prepare you for what's coming. Because if God doesn't come, if Jesus doesn't come back, we're all going to face death one way or the other. Maybe it'll be super fast. Boom, you're out here. Maybe you'll have a lot of time to lay there and think about it. And the only thing that's going to get you through all these things, it's the only thing that's going to get you through work or just life, is the stronger your faith is. And how do you make that faith stronger? You got to know who he is. How do you trust somebody you don't know? You don't. You that got kids, would you give your kids to their grandparents, or a good friend that you're aware? Yeah, if you're comfortable with them, you let them go, right? But if somebody from Target walked up and said, hey, you care if I take your kids down to the... Well, you wouldn't trust that person to take your kid down to the ice cream place, would you? Well, then, why do you think you're going to be so trustful to God when you don't really know who he is? You just kind of go, yeah, I believe in God, I know who he is, I believe in Jesus Christ, he died for my sins and everything, but that's about enough. And there's like a walking faith that we should have. That our faith should be... Don't beat yourself up if you're not there, because none of us are there, but because what when Jesus talks about the mustard seed and the faith of a mustard seed. That's really tiny, right? And what he's trying to describe is how big that mustard plant is when it's done. And the birds even build their nests in it. Meaning your faith can get huge if you just ask God to come in and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you. And pretty soon you'll be able to do things you never thought you'd be able to do. Say things. And the biggest thing, though, is the calmness in the storms. That is the biggest thing. And what a gift to your family, to your kids, two ways. Number one, you're calm. Well, there's a tornado warning for Norway, Iowa, and I live right in the middle of Norway. And my kids are watching me freak out. Or are my kids watching me trust God, do the right things, do things I'm supposed to do, and have a calmness of spirit because I know my days are numbered. God has put these kids in my possession for now. And I'm supposed to watch out for them, and I'm just supposed to use... What a blessing that is for your kids to watch you use the Word of God, especially if you have mentioned God and how He's got us and how He protects us and how the Holy Spirit indwells each one of us that are believers in Jesus Christ. What a comfort it's got to be to a little kid. Another thing I thought about, though, is when you die. What a comfort that'll be to your family knowing that your faith is super strong and they know where you're at because of what you believed in Jesus Christ. What a comfort. We don't think about that sometimes, what it does for other people when we just kind of think about ourselves, that we're responsible for ourselves knowing all this. But what about the people that are around you? I heard a guy say yesterday, he goes, when you leave your home in the morning, is your home a better place now that you're gone, or was it a good place because you were there? Is work a better place because you walk in the door, or is work better when you miss a day? And I go, ooh, that's kind of... If you're the boss, do your employees look up to you because you have integrity, because of what the Word of God says? Or do they see you do things sideways? If you're an employee, does your boss see you stealing time from him because you can get away with it? So you just... do what you can do to make the day go fast. There's so many things with faith that come into play that would just make life so much better. And I'm going to look up, it's not on the board, I'm just going to look it up here quick because I had it circled here because I'm almost done here. Trust in the Lord with all, it's in Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Okay, that sounds good. But God's really laying on your heart to do something that everybody's going to think's nuts. Like, did they think Noah's nuts? Did they think Abraham's nuts? Did they think Sarah was nuts? Did they think... Go down the list. Sometimes the world's advice they'll give to you does not... line up with God's. And so when you go and do what God's telling you to do, and you go, well, I never really heard God. God's never called me on the phone or sent me a text message, so I really don't know what He wants me to do. Well, sorry. Yeah, you do. You're just not looking. In every circumstance that you have that guidance and direction from God. And we just choose. It's just too hard. I don't know. Whatever excuse you want to give, because I'm telling you guys that for me. Why is it easier to sit down and pay attention to a movie for 2 hours and eat stuff you shouldn't eat and sit there and you don't want to take the time to give it to God? I don't get that because faith in God is what? Going to make it real simple here. Your faith in God is what? Your faith in Jesus Christ is what? He is who He says He is. If He's who He says He is, if He really is who He says He is, that means everything in this Word, everything in this book is true. My wife always it makes your heart happy when there's about 60 kids in the high school and she goes, this is the Word of God, and the Word of God is, and they all go, true. Every one of them yell, true. And it's really cool to see that. But it's faith stands on the truth of God. If you don't know what the truth of God is, if you just got an idea of, from what your wife tells you, your husband tells you, or a quick reel, or a, I'm not saying that stuff's bad, obviously not. Anywhere you can get it, get it. But are you setting down, and I'm talking to myself here too, are you setting down whenever it works to get some quiet time and, well, I don't really know what the Bible means. Just read it. Just read some of it. Don't treat it like it's a New Year's resolution. Don't treat it like it's a diet that you'll never keep. Just go and start somewhere and spend some time with Him, and it'll start to get real to you. And the benefit of that is when you go out throughout your day and you've got God interwoven in your life, in every decision, I mean, we get it, you know, enemy's good at that. He says goofy things to you like, well, you mean to tell me you're supposed to pray unceasingly? How are you going to do that? Yeah. But it doesn't mean, just a minute, take a minute, I got to pray about this. That doesn't, you talk back and forth with Him. Say, I really don't know what to do in this situation. I really, or help me hold my together why this person comes in here and I got to talk to them. Help me just to realize that somebody did that for me one time. You know, that type of thing. So what I want to close this up with is not my words, but God's words about why do you want to do this? And it's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Because He gives you an answer for everything. So if you got a question, why do I really need faith? I mean, I get it. I get why I kind of need faith. I get that. But I believe in Jesus Christ. He died for my sins. And I know this is the right thing to do, but you don't know how busy I am every day. You just don't know what it's like. If you had my life, I get all that because I've said all those words. Here's what He says. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. My Bible just says rewarder for those who seek them, but most other translations of the Bible that I was reading says who earnestly draw near to Him or desperately draw. Wander of these who desperately seek Him or earnestly seek Him. You really want to know who God is. You really do. You really are sincere. Your faith is on fire. You're on fire. You want to know who He is. What's He tell you? He'll reward you. What's one of the rewards for that? Because when you do things in faith, that doesn't mean you go on a mission trip. It might. Doesn't mean you go to Africa. It might. Doing things to please God means you're doing it in faith. You're stepping out in faith to handle your business, to handle the employees, to handle your boss, to handle your family, to handle your sickness, to handle your really bad doctor diagnosis. You're stepping out in faith. Like, God's got this, man. God's got this. I'm good. Does it mean I'm not going to be emotional a little bit? Yeah. But I got this. Because God's got me. God's got me. One of the rewards for that is God will draw near to you. That's how the guy wrote it at the end of that I just read that the other day. God will draw near to you if you draw near to Him. And I'm afraid that sometimes when we say we don't hear God or we just don't see His direction or we just don't get it, it's because we're not allowing Him into our life like we should. If you just picture a big woven rug with all your things to do in your life, if God's your faith in God and you know who God is and you get His Word, your life will look way different and it'll be way easier. Will that take away the hardships? No. Them hardships will be so much easier. And we fight Him like a little kid just screaming, doesn't want to do the right thing. We don't see that. We let our arrogance get in our way. And we should be like party mode. We really should. Because God's got this. God's got our life. If we just don't fight Him. And I don't know if that really got the point across that I got slammed in the face with when all this happened with her dad and watching her go through it and everything. But it makes a difference how deep your faith is. It makes a difference if your faith is this deep or it's this deep. Does it make a difference going to heaven? Absolutely not. You're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're secure. But your life, He wants an abundant life for you. He says in His Word, He wants you to live abundantly. So my encouragement to you is really do some soul searching. Really think, like, do I believe this? Do I trust Him? And if I do, maybe I might hit a little harder. If you're hitting it harder and it don't pertain to you, good, because it pertained to me more than it did anybody. But we just got to look at God as a good Father. He's not what the world portrays Him as. He wants the best for you. And you just trust Him. And I thank you guys for giving me this time to fill in for Matt. And that's about all I got to say about that, like Forrest Gump. So I want to pray for the offering of Bob. I want to get the offering, Bob. Father, we want to thank You for the ability to give to this church. If we're not giving money to it, we're giving our prayers. We thank You for the missions that we can support right now through this. Both basics are completely supported by this church. And we don't take that lightly. These people, they put it on the table and put their money where their mouth is. And the difference that we're making, that You're making through us and through this church, is phenomenal with these kids and these families. So we thank You for that. We just want to thank You, Lord, for who and what You are. In Your Son's name, amen. One more song and we're out.